Hi, everybody. I'm Steven. I'm an alcoholic. I'm from Toronto. Should be getting warm here, but it's still chilly in Toronto. It's not, doesn't make sense. But I'm delighted to be here today online. And by the way, I've been around this program 21 years, 21 years, including weekends, as we like to say. And, it's my great privilege today to tell you a little bit about what it was like before, sort of what got me into these rooms, and more or less what it's like today. And what I had said is that I might focus a little bit more on the recovery side and things that have happened and how I've used the tools of the program. Does that sound good? Okay. Then let's just start. I'm, as I said, I'm Stephen. I'm an alcoholic. I'm from Toronto. I sort of grew up in Southern Ontario, basically a pretty normal family. My father was a pastor, my mother was a homemaker, but a dog breeder, and became an international judge. I have brothers and sisters, and it was a nice, happy little family. But the reality was they were very, very, my family are very focused on caring about their community, caring about their neighbor, caring about their country. They're very passionate about the country. They're passionate about the world. And so I sort of grew up this way, with this ex and not just my own immediate family, my extended family are all very involved in my life growing up. And when in my case, I'm more or less a pretty good student. Did okay. I did was pretty good at sports. I was Mr. Popular and pretty much whatever I was doing in a middle of the pack type of thing. But I guess it was around 14 or 15 that I sort of started with alcohol and experimenting a little bit, but when I look back now, of course, I sort of drank till I dropped, basically. And, I just kept doing the same thing, but I always had a lot of, I was a guy who had a lot of checks and balances in my life. My parents, my grandparents, my grandfather's a general, my other was the mayor, and they were very focused on building tomorrow's leaders with us kids. And so I was the leader of that, as the eldest. And so basically my point there is I went off to college. I always, you have more freedom. I'm getting drinking more, that's for sure. But I still had this family that were on it, like they were on me, they were on it, they were making sure everything. So I was always moving things forward in the sort of the right way type of thing. And what happened in my case is that after my university days, my first big role was I was sent abroad, and I was gone a long time. I was gone 5 years, or longer in terms of my young. But anyway, so now you have your first real job. I'm 10,000 miles away. I'm my career's moving up, and I'm drinking like a fish, but I'm getting everything else done. As we do, as we like to say, my first generation, I could drink till I drop and have a great time. The second 10 years, I was drinking to keep things rolling, but in the third generation, nothing but trouble. But in that early days, when I was far up, as I said, my family were still far away, or were far away, but influential. And after about 5 years over there, something bad did happen in my life, and it wasn't. And my grandfather actually had to come over. It was a diplomatic thing. I wasn't a legal thing or money thing, but I had some complications. So back to Canada I come now. First big sort of setback in my life. And never once relating it to alcohol. It was always this problem or that problem or whatever. So anyway, I rebuild my life. Got this beautiful wife now. I've got these two wonderful kids. My career is flying again. I've reset things. Things are going. The only thing I didn't reset is to stop drinking, or realizing that these mounting problems that were happening in my life were related to alcohol. So, things roll along pretty good for a while. I got this beautiful family. I'm highly respected in my community. I'm dealing with everything coming my way. But what I didn't sort of deal with is drink till I drop. My time was sort of 10 till 2 in the morning. Like I'd be like, oh, and I forgot to tell my little joke. Like after about 4 months into the program, I had a call from my office, and they're all excited. Oh, there's this absolutely gorgeous gift basket that's arrived. Oh, it's beautiful. I go, wow, who's it from? Open up the card, let's see who it is. And it basically what it said was, "We miss you, signed your wine merchant." So that was sort of, I guess I was one of their big clients. But okay, so back to my story. So things were getting worse. Things are getting bad. Things are going downhill. Things are starting to happen. And I'm hanging on. So finally, I'm hanging on here and things, I'm really getting worse. Things, a bunch of shit happen as it does. I get in these rooms. So finally, I get into these rooms and I go to a meeting near my office. Or near my home, but not in the same town, and lucky for me, there was, and you know how it is. I'm in the meeting. Oh my God, my life's a disaster. My family, my career. I don't know what I'm gonna do. But there was a one man there that had an experience, and I don't, his name was Don. And I have no idea to this day, I don't know if Don had all that time after the meeting to stay and talk to me. And I really don't know if Don wanted to go to First Sandwich. I think he even bought lunch, but he did. I don't know if he actually wanted to go to a second meeting that day, but he suggested that we go to this second meeting together. And anyway, and we did. And then after the second meeting, he said to me, "Now, if you can go home today, if you can get through the rest of the day without drinking, I'll come out to Oakville, that's my hometown, and we'll go to some meetings out near you. Can we do? And that's exactly what we did. So that launched my, new life in AA. And by the way, 20 years later, that guy's still my sponsor, and he and I are great pals now, and we've done a lot of co-sponsoring, or he's like the grand sponsor and things like that, where a lot of people I've sponsored, he's helped me, walk them through the program and things like that. So basically, what happened in that first year in my case, I did change my life. I did change my schedule around. I did get a home group. I did get this sponsor. I did, do the do things. And I don't know where it was, but maybe about 10 months or 11, I just remember one day saying, "Hey, the desire to drink has left me. I'm not being extra vigilant." But, I'm a guy, like, I have to go to a lot of functions and a lot of banquets and things like that. And I always had to have something in my hand, like, remember that first Christmas time, I was at this house party and the lady said, "Stephen, you're drinking all my mix," because I had to have something in my hand. I just had to have something in my hand. And so basically what happened is that about year four, I had I had a, I always had at these functions, like banquets, I could drink 10 Perriers or soda water or whatever at these functions. But about year four, the same thing, it just left me. So, because I was always doing the new things here. And then I would say, in my case, about year seven or eight, I started to really incorporate these steps into my life. At this point, I'd led step studies, I'd have several sponsees, I'd been through several step studies, things like that. And so now I'm more, and I'm incorporating it into my life. So, but what happened is I'm a businessman and I have some profile here in my community. So I'm careful in the program. So what happened is people started to notice that I don't drink, you know, like my business friends, you know, or I was careful, you know, today you're my friend, tomorrow you're my enemy. But I was careful, but I could always tell when there was an issue. But so what happened is these business guys and political guys kept coming to me. Say, hey, can you help my nephew? I got an employee. Can you guide him? I have a friend. You know, my brother's drunk. You know, like, how'd you do it? Like, can you talk? And so, of course, you know, who knows? God has a plan for us. I have to be ready. And so, but the one thing we always say here in the program is one alcoholic to another alcoholic. But my first point to everybody here today is that in my case, because it kept happening to me, I felt I had to get better at delivering my message and knowing what I wanted to say to these. So my suggestion to you is you might think about that. In my case, I had to be more specific, be ready. And I'll give you an example. So there's a lady, her name was Susan. She was a very nice lady. She didn't report directly to me, but she had to brief me on her work every once in a while. And she was very cheerful. And I remember the last time she was very competent, but I could see something was off. She just didn't seem cheerful. But I didn't say anything. I didn't feel I knew her well enough or whatever. But the second time, same thing. That time, for whatever reason, I did say something. And I said, "Is everything okay, Susan?" And she goes, "No. My husband is complete drunk. I got these two young kids. I got my career. I don't know what to do. And I don't know why she said it to me like that, or but it was obviously coming to a head." So I got up, closed the boardroom door. We were in the boardroom. And I told her my story a little bit, you know, and I said, "I could talk to your husband if you'd like, if he agreed, and you know, we'll see what we can do." And so he did agree. And so my office is in downtown Toronto. I live in Oakville. They lived in North York, which is sort of north. So I found a meeting close to where I thought Bernard and Susan lived. And I did. I got a couple of guys there that were ready. They were for when I, and I, and then I went over and I can't remember. I think we went for had a bite and then we went to this meeting, Bernard and I. And it was almost like a handoff, you know, like I come in and those two guys are waiting. And, take them around, you know, we get them a book like we do. Got some phone numbers of some other guys. We got them a coffee. We had a meeting. At the end of the meeting, they said, "Bernard, would you like to go to a meeting tomorrow? We'll come and we'll take you to the meeting." And he did. And I remember leaving there that day, you know, thinking, you know, I did my job. I did a good job. That was good. Because you never know in our life here in the program. Sometimes we're planting the seed. Sometimes it works gloriously, and other times you don't know. It just doesn't work for people. But in this case, it did work, and he was successful, and he did change his life, and he did stabilize his family. And the next time I do see Susan around at Board of Trade things and things like that, and she's effusively nice to me, and I say, "Look, people help me, I help them back." But that's one of the good stories that worked, you know, that we love. So things kept happening like that, you know, to me. Anyway, one day I lived in the top story of, you know, where I'm using the tools of the program. And what happened is, her name was Irene. And I lived in the top floor. So when you're on the top floor, you're going up and down, you're chatting with people on the elevators, you know, and some of them I know. And so, but one day, Irene gets on this elevator and she looks terrible. I mean, bad. And this is a very elegant woman, you know, who always looked well coiffed, you know, type of thing. So I did say to her, I said, "Irene, like, is everything okay?" Right in the elevator. And she said, "No, my son died last night." And I'm like, "Ooh." Anybody here would have felt for that. And I never really done anything like it before. And I don't really think I recall doing it too many times since. But what happened that day is that
5 minutes,
Irene,
Stephen.
thank you. Irene, would you Would you like to pray about that right here, right now? And she said, yes, yes, I would. And so I don't know how or what inspired me, you know, but I reached over, I sort of just said, you know, God, watch over Irene and give her the power and her family the power to get through this and watch over their son and amen, you know, type of thing, showing care. And she said, you know, there's always, you know, I always see you around. There's always something about you. And so the rest of the day, I said, hey, you know, my God side's showing now. You know, I feel good about it, you know. About a week later, I was in the elevator. There was another lady coming down, on the way down. And I could see that she was looking at me funny. I didn't know her name, but I'd seen her around. And she's looking at me kind of funny. And she said, are you the guy in the penthouse that prays? And I'm like, she's talking about Irene. Yes, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I am. You know what I'm like? But the point is this that I bring to you. I learned all that in these rooms. Yes, I go to church today, but I learned that love and care here. We see it in the live meetings where, you know, one lady, she's heartbroken or having a disastrous day, and one or two ladies may go over and meet with her or take her out. Or there's a guy, you know, like Don did for me, you know, where I'm a disaster. You can see it at our weakest moment. They're not making judgment. They're being kind to them. We see it on the online meetings here. And that, well, I was able that day to help somebody outside of the program in a meaningful way. And I felt good about that. I have one final story for you. What happened is this. Is that the mother of my children, and they're 33 now, she died about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, coming up. But anyway, it was bad. And so Michelle, her name is Michelle, and she and I had been, you know, divorced and apart for many years, but I took care of her. I made sure she was the mother of my children. And you know, sort of after university and things settled down, we had a good last number of years being loving to each other and caring. But the mother of my children absolutely rocked their world. And I am concluding, is, you know, so you, as the divorced father and husband, I'm one step removed. I'm there just to support my kids and their efforts through this. And I remember late one night, I wrote to them. And I said, I'm writing to you. These are some slogans that I use that help me. And I remember it was like one day at a time, let go and let God think. I don't know why I use that word and keep it simple. I said, these things help me when I'm have times of trouble. And I never thought much about it after that. But and then we did get through the funeral. And then, you know, with grief, several months, I was keeping close to my kids, making sure they're okay. And I remember I either go for a meal or a walk with my daughter. One day we're out for the walk, maybe 4 or 5 months later. And I said, you know, about your mom, it's been a few months. Like, how are you doing? Is it like, how you feel? Like it? And she said, Dad, I'm just taking it one day at a time. So I thought, hey, I got to be doing something right in life here. I got to be doing something right, you know? And with my son, it was a little different. You know, when he came, when we meet, he would drive his car instead of take the GO train. He'd come over. I'd put a couple of barbs, put a couple of steaks on, and we'd catch up. And it was similar. He didn't sort of say it in exactly that he was the executor. She had quite a substantial stuff to untangle. But so I remember him saying, though, I'm just keeping it simple, Dad. You know, like it was that type of thing. And so that's my story today. I don't drink. I deal with everything coming my way. I try to step up the way Don helped me or others helped me. And because it kept happening, I had to get a little better at it. And that's my story today. Thanks.